Lord, thank you for your word, for your truth, for the beauty of your Spirit who moves through your word and speaks life to us. Lord, we look forward to seeing you in it. Sharpen our senses, open our eyes, open our ears, soften our hearts to see you, to hear you, to know you, to love you, our beautiful Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. When our little daughter was born 30 years ago, hard to believe, 30 years ago, I was taken in by the miracle of what God had done. I still can see it. I still can feel it. She had this beautiful pink skin with perfect little hands and this rosebud mouth. And you know how parents can be. I mean, you just sit there, new parents, just sit there, take in the wonder. You gaze on that little one when they're sleeping. There's nothing more precious. But I soon learned that not everyone shared my enthusiasm. I began to hear some things from friends like, well, say goodbye to a good night's sleep. Or, there goes your freedom. Or, oh, you just wait. I think that was my favorite. Or, you will have your hands full. Okay, now I understand. They were just being practical, but I had this friend, Mal. Mal King. Mal was 30 years older than I was, an investigator for the sheriff's office, trained by the FBI. He was a man with a strong jaw and an even stronger faith. We played tennis together often, and he often beat me. And one day, I was sharing with Mal some little story about my daughter. And Mal, who has daughters of his own, just had this light that shone through his eyes. And he looked at me and smiled and said quietly, "You know what? It just keeps getting better. It just keeps getting better." I never forgot that. How different that is from, "There go your nights." It's a paradigm shift. It's a whole other perspective. And as soon as I heard it, I knew that what I was hearing underneath it all was faith. How we need it. And how beautiful it is, this faith and love that God gives. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast, Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us. Our scripture today tells us what God has done for us if we will have it, how he loved us first, and how that changes everything. And now, if you've been with us, you know that our scripture is picked out of our readings for the week, and we're reading through the New Testament as a congregation this year. And I hope you're keeping up with it. If you're having a little trouble with it, just keep hanging in there. Keep coming back. Because this is something that we're going to be continuing to do as a congregation. As a matter of fact, next year we're already looking at a plan where we can involve the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, maybe do like a two-year plan. We're not sure yet how that's going to work out, but we really want to stay grounded in the Word of God. So we're in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. There's a lot here. Romans 5, 6 through 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and there you are. Let's read. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I think if I were to give this sermon a title, I would call it How Much More. Because that's the direction our lives need to be heading in with Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do you see yourself as blessed? When you look at your life, how quickly does that come to mind? Because that's what God's Word tells us we are because of Jesus. But if we're not careful, especially in these days, we can lose that perspective. Oh, there's a lot of that going around, isn't there? We live in a culture today that wants to keep God out of the conversation, so there's no reason to see yourself blessed because there's no one to do the blessing, right? It's all up to us. So we hear things like, well, if we get through COVID, it's up to us. We can do this, say the ads mimicking Rosie the Riveter. Have you made that connection? It's a little interesting. But God's Word tells us it is He who keeps us alive. Psalm 116, verses 5 through 7 says, how kind the Lord is, how good he is, how merciful this God of ours. The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I was facing death and he saved me. Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. Now, certainly God gives us tools, and science is that, a gift from him. But what do we really place our trust in? Whether we live or die is in his hands, not our own. Is the glass half empty and possibly tainted with viruses? Or is it not only half full, but clean and clear and filling up with the water of life, because come what may, oh, something good is coming. Even with all he went through, it's half full for Paul. Just look at what he writes in Romans 5, 6, and 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, some translations have helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There is a hallelujah in there if you just look. While we were still sinners, he knew us. He knew exactly who we are and what we would do. He knows the things we would shudder to mention in church. And he loved us and died for us anyhow. And this is a love that meets us right where we are and carries us to fresh places of grace, a love to look forward to live into, a love this world cannot take away. And we may say, well, yes, I know that. I mean, conceptually, we accept that. But, we recognize it as such. I've heard it before, it's sort of the response that we have. But the question is, do we feel it in our own skin? is a part of our reflex, the reflex of our soul, if you will. So loved that you can even see yourself blessed on difficult days. Blessed because of Jesus. Oh, I wish I could say I've arrived at that. I too very much am a work in progress on this. You know, when a preacher preaches, usually the topics the Lord is working on him at the same time. This is very much something I'm growing into. But this isn't just about pie in the sky by and by, as some skeptics might say. Let's look at Romans 5, verses 9 through 10. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Just look at some of the words in that. When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled. Now we have to understand the nature of God as entirely perfect, entirely holy. And what you and I, in choosing to go our own way, have done is to turn from him in a way, a trajectory that would put us away from him eternally. Yet God, in his wrath, brings us back as we look to Jesus. And look at the phrases at the end of each verse. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Notice that part about through his life. Don't overlook that, because that's about here and now. God chose not only to save us, not only to adopt us as sons and daughters. This isn't only a past event. Think about those words. How much more? Even now, in the moments right in front of you and me, God has blessings for us to discover, blessings for us to praise him for, if only we could see them more. Blessings that started the moment we came to Jesus in faith and that continue every day in him. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it takes time to realize that God has been with me in a moment. Sometimes I may be, for example, grieving a situation so much that my heart and my mind and my emotions are all wrapped up in it. And then I'll just go into my room and this morning I got a note from a friend that was upsetting, and I knew in that moment I had to go in, I had to sit down for just a moment and spend time reading the Word of God. And it was amazing how I did that. Nothing changed in that situation. Nothing in my perspective or outlook as far as, you know, what I was going to do about that situation changed. But 5 minutes later, I came away from it different. It was as if this balm for my soul, which is the Holy Spirit, had moved into that moment and blessed me. And this is what he does. Listen to what C.S. Lewis wrote in a letter to a friend about how we need to live in the present with our hearts and our minds continually going back to God. Please listen carefully to what Lewis writes. He writes, "I'm beginning to feel that we need a preliminary act of submission, not only towards possible afflictions, recognizing that bad things happen, but also toward possible future blessings. I know it sounds fantastic, but think it over. It seems to me that we often, almost sulkily, reject the good that God offers us because at that moment, we expected some other good. Do you know what I mean?" That's Lewis writing. Do you know what I mean? on every level of your life, of our life, we are always harking back to some occasion which seemed to us to reach perfection, setting that up as a norm and depreciating all other occasions by comparison. But these other occasions, I now suspect, are often full of their own new blessing, if only we would lay ourselves open to it. God shows us a new facet of glory, and we refuse to look at it because we're still looking for the old one. Have you been there? Sometimes as Christians, we can feel like, well, you know, if only I could get back to that place where I was in my heart and life and my spirit. And sometimes that's right, because sometimes we've grieved the Spirit of God through our sins, and we need to draw closer to Him. But so often it can be that we're setting up a past experience as the norm of what our life should be like, and God is saying, but I'm right here, and I have something new to show you. But if you're like me, you're often a creature of habit, and you find comfort in the old, and you want to go back there. But God says in His Word, behold, I am doing a new thing. And don't you wonder how many new things does He want to show us if we're just, there's a great German word, Andraht. It literally, if we're just on wire, if you will, if we're alert, if we're looking, Aufdraht is the word actually in German. If we're looking, God's mercies are new every morning. And that's what His Word says in a book called Lamentations, of all places. And sometimes we can't see those in our circumstances, and it takes a moment. But if we ask Him, if we get with Him, you know, how many times have you gone into your room to pray about something and it seems like nothing changes, but then you walk down the hall and you realize, wait a minute. Wait, it's like Jacob. You know, the Lord was in this place and I didn't know it. I'm kind of like, you know, that dinosaur that you hit on the tail, and 5 minutes later he realizes it happened. Isn't that often how it is in our spirits with the Lord? But God can sharpen our senses and help us to live into this and recognize it more and more. And it's not that it's the experiences that are ultimate, that matter most. It's just being with Him, looking for Him. His Word calls Him a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And He can give us grace to know that we are blessed nonetheless. And I don't know, maybe that's a second title for the sermon. Blessed nonetheless. Because He is the greatest blessing of all. And as we draw near to Him with simple childlike faith, He has unexpected ways of meeting us in unexpected places. That is the how much more Paul is talking about. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? He saved us, but He continues to save us every day. And that salvation is the washing and rebirth and regeneration through His Holy Spirit that He desires to work in us. So maybe a good question is, how much more have we been blessed than we actually know? And how much more can we find out? Next verse, verse 11. Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. That word boast can also be translated, rejoice, but I like the way the very literal New American Standard Bible translates it. It says, not only this, but we also celebrate in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Hey, Have you celebrated Jesus this week? As I wrote that, I thought, speak for yourself, preacher, have you? According to Jesus, we are the prodigals who have been welcomed home, and there is a celebrating to be done. And if we boast in him, celebrate him, not only will we be blessed, others will be too. And his love and his joy flowing through us will be contagious in the best of all possible ways. One true story to close. John Sung, a native of China, was a student at New York's Union Theological Seminary, and the faculty and administration there didn't know what to do with him. He didn't seem stable to them because he praised God so much. Sometimes he'd weep. Sometimes he'd just shout for joy. So true story, do you know what they did? They locked him up. They put him in a mental institution for 193 days with just a Bible and a pen. This was at the turn of the centuries, early 1900s. Now, Sung was a solid student. He already had a Bachelor of Science, a Master of Science, and a Doctor of Philosophy degree. But there was a time in his life when he had begun to doubt his faith, and he backslid. And then the Lord restored him to faith. And he became so joyful that he couldn't praise God enough. And it was right after that that they locked him up. Look him up. Again, John Sung, S-U-N-G, last name. Now, when he was in the mental hospital, Sung read his Bible all the way through 40 times. And when he got out, he left. He went back to China. And on the ship, he threw all of his degrees overboard. Sorry, Jerk. Threw all of his degrees overboard, except for his doctoral diploma, which he kept for his father. And when he arrived in China, he began to preach throughout his homeland. And he was quiet by nature, but God used him. So many came to Jesus, repenting of their sins with tears, receiving his joy. Ben Patterson writes that John Sung was once described as a man who talked little, preached more, and prayed most. Like that last part, right? He liked to have pictures of the people he was praying for so that he could go deeper with them when he prayed for them personally. I think that might be a good thing for us to do as a church as well. Now, Sung had his difficulties. Often he was in great physical pain. He often would have to preach from a chair. Sometimes he even preached lying down just because of the pain that he was in. He faced death threats. He had narrow escapes from death. And he preached only a dozen or so years before his death to intestinal tuberculosis at age 43. But in the end, perhaps hundreds of thousands came to faith, and the ministries he founded lived on. Sung is sometimes referred to as the Billy Graham of China. All because of his joy in someone who loved him so much, he couldn't get over it. Joy that might get you kicked out of seminary, but you'll still have something to celebrate. Think about it. Oh, to be blessed like that and know it. And the truth is, if you have received him, you are that blessed. It's just that Sung knew it. Oh, to see how blessed we are. To live into that more and more. To praise God for it. All because of Jesus. All because of his cross. All because I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. recognizing that. I always have something. I always have someone who loves me, something to look forward to. Someone who is with me, even when in my own flesh I'm so rattled I can't feel it. His spirit goes deeper still, and beneath the storm, a still small voice speaks peace. He himself is our peace. His word tells us. May we pray. Are you blessed? Do you know it? Can you say, I'm blessed because I've received Jesus, I've received my Father's love? Because if you can't say that, you can leave this place saying it today. Going to Him in simple faith, placing your trust in Him, that He really does love you, that He really died on the cross to set you free from sin, and that He, and no one less, determines who you are. And you are precious to Him. More precious than life. And discovering that love, He will lead you and me into more of it, because He is good, and because His love never ends. So, I hope that none of us will leave this place without that assurance. Our God can be trusted, and He is faithful to save us if we call on Him. And maybe you're like me, you're in that place where you're blessed, you know you're blessed, but you also know you could see it a lot more than you do. Lord, would you help us with this? Holy Spirit, would you fill us afresh? Sharpen our senses. Give us an awareness of just what it means to be your very own, so that we can love you and serve you, not because it's all about us, but because we want to, because of all that you are. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our last song, Like a River Glorious.